This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and I trust the program encourages you, challenges you, and blesses you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and we would appreciate any comments you have on the program, any questions you might have, and any prayer requests you might want to leave with us. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also download it and pass it on to others. Now, again, you can reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, in addition, if you're familiar with Facebook, you can find me by putting my name in and searching for me on Facebook. And if you know what you're doing, you can find saved videos there. And there will be some videos having to do with the Book of Revelation. There'll be some videos there having to do with the Book of Daniel. These are discussions that I had with other people. And there will be some videos there called My Two Cents Worth, which are under 10 minutes and which have to do with some of the thoughts I've had over the years about different events or scriptures. In addition, if you know how to use YouTube, and you can find my channel on YouTube, which would be just Bruce Collins, you'll find those videos called My Two Cents Worth there as well. So if these things are helpful to you, see if you can find them. If you can't, write to me and maybe I'll help you find them as well. But there's quite a little material there that you can use when you don't have anything else pressing you. Now today we want to continue with our thoughts about the Lord Jesus and the way in which he's described. One time we went through all of the titles that he had, and now we're going through different adjectives and so forth that are used with regard to him, or nouns in many cases that are used with regard to him and that are pictures of him. Today we want to look at one that is particularly interesting. It's found in Psalm 22, and it's the idea that the Lord was a worm and not a man, a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Now, this is Psalm 22, verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. When we look at this, there is no New Testament guidance, as near as I can tell, with regard to the thought that the Lord was a worm. This was not used by the scribes and the Pharisees. This was not something that the Lord seemed to quote, but it seems to be a quote that is associated with prophetically with the Lord by King David. Now we know from Psalm 2 that David was a prophet and that he understood probably more about the coming king and the fact that he would be humiliated before he would be allowed to reign than perhaps some of us understand, even though we have the New Testament scriptures to explain some of these Old Testament scriptures. And Psalm 22 is particularly vivid when it comes to what happens to the Lord, because it was written 1,000 years before it happened, and yet there are things in there that we don't find are really the experience of David. They are the experience of the Lord. For example, when it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet," that took place at the cross, but we don't know that it took place in David's life. And when we come to this statement, "But I am a worm and no man," as I said, we have no New Testament guidance as to the interpretation of this, but it's quite clear in my mind that David himself probably experienced this kind of rejection, first when he was fleeing from Saul, and later on when he was fleeing from his own son Absalom. He likely experienced what it meant to be rejected in this way. When we look at the Lord, we know that the Lord was willing to humble himself. Philippians 2 tells us that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so God was willing to send his son, and his son was willing to humble himself. And Hebrews tells us that he was made a little lower than the angels, lower in rank than the angels. And so that was a voluntary willingness on the part of the Lord to become much less than he was in heaven. In heaven, he was probably the shining sun. I'm sure that he was the attraction of heaven. He was the glory of heaven, and he comes to earth, and he becomes a man, and he veils his glory. And so he humbles himself. And this is something he did voluntarily. But when I read Psalm 22 and verse 6, where it says, "But I am a worm and no man," I believe this is the way men dealt with him. And this was the humbling experience that he expected, the rejection that he experienced, particularly by the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers of his people. So we read, for example, in Psalm 69:20, "Reproach has broken mine heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." And so I really think as we look at this matter of the worm, we're looking at the way in which men counted the Lord to be absolutely nothing, but he was just worthy to be trampled upon. There are people in this life who seem to have absolutely no empathy. I think that's what we call it. They have no empathy at all. That is, they can't put themselves in the situation of other people and feel what they are feeling. Now, when we sympathize with people, we understand their circumstances, and we, in a way, are able to enter into the circumstances, or we are able to understand the circumstances that they're in. Empathy, it seems like it goes a little further in that we're able to enter into the feelings of their infirmities. And so there are people that apparently could not have any empathy for the Lord when they crucified him. And of course, just in general, to know that the Romans were willing to crucify people in order to make others fear, just seems like they were a cruel people. This was one of the most difficult deaths a person could die. And so there was no empathy for the Lord. And so when it says he was a worm and no man, it's really the idea that they didn't really count him worthy of anything but to be trampled upon. Now, when we look at this word worm, it's interesting that one of the dictionary definitions of this particular Hebrew word says that it's a maggot. And maggots are associated with dead bodies. We know that. And so that's something that we would find very disgusting, to call the Lord a maggot. And we know, as we look at current literature and current films, that every so often someone in that film or in that literature is called a maggot. Sometimes it's done in jest, but usually it's not a nickname that a person would want. He's a maggot. And so in that sense, it really is humbling to be called a worm in the sense of being a maggot. But if we also look into this word, this particular maggot or this particular worm, when it was crushed, produced a crimson dye, that I'm told was used to dye some of the curtains of the tabernacle. And so there are those who link the idea of this maggot being crushed to the Lord dying on a cross and turning the wood of the cross blood red or crimson because of his own blood. Now, that may be a little bit fanciful. It may be taking the picture a little too far. I don't know. But I think more in general that this idea that the Lord was a worm and no man is really kind of a way of showing the way in which the world then despised the Lord. Even though he had done nothing but good, they despised the Lord. And it seems to me that in many regards, the world today is treating him the same way. It's interesting that when it comes to the Lord, they'll take his name in vain, but they'll never use the name of one of the leaders of our country in the same way that they would use the name of the Lord Jesus. They would never use it as a vile oath. And when we look at the Lord, we know that people have always questioned the validity of the Bible. They've questioned whether the Lord was really the Son of Man who came into this world in order to die for us and to put away our sins in order to save us for all eternity. We know that he's been despised. He's been rejected. But the thing is, he was a worm and no man. They didn't consider him a man. Now, the Lord was made a man, and in John 1, the Word was made flesh, that is, was made a man, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But when it came to the rulers, the mob that crucified the Lord, they considered him not even worthy to be called a man. And so this shows how despicable that crucifixion was and how the children of Israel, at least as a formal nation with formal leaders, how little they really cared about the Lord Jesus and perhaps how little they cared about life itself. We know that there were those who did love the Lord. They didn't understand that he was going to die, but they considered him important. There was a Mary, there was a Martha, there was a Lazarus, there was 11 of the disciples, not 12, but 11 of the disciples. They all loved the Lord. They didn't understand that he had to be crucified. They didn't understand until after he was crucified the meaning of some of the prophecies that had gone forth, where the only sign that Israel would be given would be the sign of the prophet Jonas, where he would be 3 days and three nights in the well's belly. The Lord would be 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth. They didn't understand all of that. Peter was beside himself when the Lord began to tell him about his sufferings and said, "This can't happen to you." But nevertheless, it did happen, and he was despised. He became a worm and no man. He became a man to be so despised that the rulers didn't empathize with him as a man. This expresses not his real value, but his esteem value. They didn't esteem him. We who are saved esteem him. We think of that verse in John 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," and we realize that God is a God who does not want to destroy. He's a God who wants to save. But he wants to save in a righteous way. He wants us to recognize that he's the only way of salvation. And for us who are saved, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And we see the one who is coming again. We see the one who one day will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords over this whole earth. And so for those of us who believe, he is precious. And we are the ones who bear his testimony. And we are the ones who believe in the gospel, where the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. And while the world may despise him and reject him, while the Romans may have despised and rejected him and considered him to be a worm and not a man, we consider him to be the precious Son of God who is willing to die for our sins. And those of us who have trusted in him will never go to a sinner's hell, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, but will go to the Savior's heaven, where the Lord is the attraction of that place. I trust that you have fallen in love with the Lord and consider him to be precious instead of a worm and not a man. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for the promise of Scripture that the Lord is coming again and that he saves those who believe. We commit ourselves to you in our Savior's name. Amen.